Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Miller.
How you doing there, Blake Buck?
I'm doing good. I'm excited about this show. Our last show was so good.
I know. We had such a great show last show.
I know. Also, we've got Justin Ficarotta of Kill Monty fame.
How are we, fellas?
We're doing good. I'm excited. I'm excited.
I'm excited, too. We're following up from our heat from last time.
That's right. We've got our second battle victim. We're going to bring on the show right now and deliver him an ultimatum. So are you guys ready?
All right, guys. So we're going to be battling Evan R. today. He accepted the challenge. So I'm going to call him up right now, and we're going to see if he's up to it.
Yo.
Evan R., you have been selected to battle. Are you prepared?
You better f***ing believe it.
All right, good.
That's what we'd like to hear.
Here is your challenge.
Okay.
You must acquire an Octomac. You must take said Octomac to a GameStop and attempt to exchange said Octomac for a game. Photographic evidence will be required. You have 1 hour.
I accept this challenge.
All right.
Good. Well, we'll call you back in a little bit. Good luck. Godspeed.
Godspeed. All right. Dude, I don't know.
Oh, man.
Every time this works, I am shocked that someone would say, I accept.
They can't help it.
But you know what? It's worked. The warrior has departed.
I know. He's been
the
deployed.
Quest has begun.
It's like Fight Club. Homework assignments for Fight Club. We're building our army this way.
We should have brought up the bonus, but hey, no problem. Like actually getting him to eat the Octomac, I think would have been.
Look, we shouldn't have to tell you what the bonus is. We should know how to go the
that's
extra
like,
mile.
Yeah, that's like achievement unlocked.
Yeah, it's a secret achievement.
There you go. I can get behind that.
Yeah.
All right, I'm ready for this heat, and this is your gaming news for August 24th, 2007. All right, this week in the news, guys, two new Dreamcast games announced at Leipzig.
Dice.
GCDC, Didact predicts A1 console future, and Viking officially announced for the PS3 and 360. All this and more on this week's best damn podcast ever.
So, here's how it usually goes, right, when we're constructing the wiki, getting ready to do the show. Blake Buck, he does all of the boring stuff, like the releases and posts the emails and all that, while Justin Fick and I, we grab the hottest news. When I saw this Dreamcast news, you know, I don't really care about Dreamcast, but I know Blake Buck loves the Dreamcast. So I was sure to grab this news so I could take a big duke all over it. That's right. Two new Dreamcast games announced and are going to be shown at Leipzig.
Is it Leipzig? Leipzig? How do you say that?
I think it's Leipzig.
You took
German. That's how we're saying it around the office.
You've taken German, hadn't you? You should know this.
Yeah. No, it was a long time ago, but I think it's Leipzig.
I before that's E how we except say it after around, P? Around the office. Yeah.
Look, son, I don't know. Anyway. All right, so Red Spot Games has two new games coming out that they're going to be showing at said game conference in Germany. They published, I guess, recently this Neo Geo game and another game for the Sega Dreamcast. I don't even know. The first game is, a shmup. Delforce is what it's called. It has 11 levels and 4 player modes. Publishers say that it promises unique scoring system, intense bullet patterns, and huge bosses.
Oh, man.
I like
some intense bullet patterns.
Like, yeah, I love this is like the hardcore extreme. Like this group of people who would buy this want, like, better bullet patterns. Not, like, bigger planes. They want bullet patterns that challenge them.
We've also got, let's see, Wind and Water Puzzle Battles by Yuan Works.
Wow.
So, anyway, these games are both going to be ass because they're both for Dreamcast, which is ass.
And indie, which is also mostly ass.
So, the games will be released first quarter 2008. We'll see more coverage from them, about them, after Leipzig's over, I guess. And I'm not going to say anything more because I don't care.
Look, now
how are they going to sell this?
For those of you ask,
like, GameStop doesn't stock.
Look, Blake Buck knows everything about the Dreamcast. Here's what happened. The Dreamcast, they discontinued it, and, like, nerd gamers shit their pants all over the world. So there started to be this homebrew scene on the Dreamcast. It started a few years ago, and it's still continued today, where people will make games on their own, which is, you know, using today's tools is not so difficult on the Dreamcast. I mean, even some indie downloadable games now look about on par with Dreamcast in terms of, like, visual quality. So they will make these games, and then they'll distribute them either through import sites or other companies like that. I think they're going to through GP2X as their publisher on this. But generally, they're only available online, and they're generally... I played a few of them, and they're not that great. But there's a small subset of people who love this and buy it all the time.
So I think there's something that needs to be said here about failing consoles that open up their platform to indie developers looking to choose Sony.
That is never gonna. That's two totally different things. We've been over this before. Sony is not dropping anything. They got all the codes.
It's called a long-term strategy.
Yeah, seriously.
Look, son, that PSP, I'm telling you, everybody's PSP is collecting dust until Final Fantasy Tactics comes out.
I got Crush, and I loved it. Remember that game we were making fun of weeks ago? I love that game.
My, have the tables have turned.
So, here's a jank for you. Crush, $20, GameSpot, or GameStop, go, D.
Now, see, here's the thing. There's, like, so many good games for the PSP, like Crush, and there's, like, Chili Con Carnage, and, you know, shit like that. But I don't even want to buy those games because I don't want to play my PSP anymore. It's a pain in the ass. Like Puzzle Quest, Jewel Swap RPG, like, three times as good as on the PSP as it is on DS, but I won't buy it on the PSP because I don't want to carry it around anymore.
I know, man, the PSP, I hate how the games are shaped. You can't do nothing with them. I got to bring all those boxes. Like, I went home a few weeks ago for you know, a week or two, and I had to bring all these boxes in my backpack. And you can use those little Altoid tins, but they kind of get crushed in there. I don't like it. I like them little tapes you get with the DS. I can fit all of those in one little pouch.
All right, so other wear in the news, meanwhile, at GCDC...
What is this? This is not GDC.
This is not GDC. This is
Game,
like,
Conference Developers Conference.
this is like GDC Europe.
Oh, lame. Europe is lame. The entire continent.
I love how that's like half our listener base. Just offended there.
So our good friend Dennis Dyack gave a speech where he predicted a one console future.
You know, we need a douchebag alarm. Lucas, maybe you could whip us up a douchebag alarm.
Oba, oba.
So Dennis Dyack, who's a good friend of the Best Damn Podcast Ever, actually, like, there are some interesting points in this. Like, I mean, the guy is a complete douche, but, you know, there's some interesting points. I don't agree with it at all, but it's worth pondering. So, but he's been talking about the, you know, what he calls an unsustainable current business model of our industry. And he actually said that not only is a one console future possible, but it said probable as early as the next round of hardware. So basically what he's saying is that, you know, games will sort of go towards, you know, kind of like what DVD players are, you know, so like a bunch of different companies are making DVD players and a bunch of different, you know, movie makers are making software, the DVDs, the movies. And he's saying that it's going to be similar with game hardware and software very soon.
I think he may be right. I mean, if you look at the consoles out there, obviously the Wii's a little different. But if you look at even though it's not that different, the PS3 and the 360 are 90% the same. They offer all the same features, downloadable content, you know, user side, massive storage. Even the Wii's got user side storage, downloadable content, you know, online gaming. They're all starting to kind of get the same feature set in terms of, like, media and connectivity.
Well, I think it needs a little more than that too. And the other thing too is that this whole theory is, you know, assuming that it's an unsustainable business model. Nintendo's having no problems right now. They're profiting off their Wii hardware. They're profiting off the software. You know, the only time I really see it, you know, I might like see, you know, 360 and PS3 becoming one console, so that in the next generation it's like Xbox, you know, 1080 and whatever the next Nintendo console is, because, you know, Nintendo is really not going to play nice with this. Like they don't need to, and there's no reason for them to. But you know, it could very well be whoever, you know, whichever format, whether it be HD DVD or Blu-ray wins out the whole format wars, and whichever console wins out that, there might be two or three consoles all with HD DVD and you know, all the same type of games, and maybe they can even play each other's games. Who knows?
All right. Well, first question I got for you, Justin. I got a question, then I have a rant. My question is, how does this guy have time to look up from his like litigation nightmare with Epic Games to like wax poetic about this stuff? Like, what does he do all day?
Now, hang on. He was at some sort of conference. I mean, I'm sure he was asked to speak.
Son,
there.
His ass should be in jail.
Whenever you are suing somebody, you must first go to jail. That is how the American legal system works. I don't know about this. You get in jail first.
So plaintiff and defendant in a jail cell, winner of the Mortal Kombat that ensues, wins the
cage match. All right, so look, this is why this guy is completely wrong and off his nut. All right, I'm going to tell you. So he's drawing this analogy to the like television media format war and subsequent like not war that we have now. I mean, you know, you got the Blu-ray and you got the DVD, but essentially you're going to have one player in your house that plays movies, right? So the problem with that is the console industry, the software is driven by the hardware as opposed to the software driving the hardware. If that makes any sense. Like if what he's saying is true, then why don't we have one computer? One kind of computer and a bunch of different software.
But we mostly do.
No, we don't. We've got all kinds of different software or computer configurations, all kinds of different hardware you can put in it. I mean, it's endless what you can make.
I think we're eventually just going to have, like, obviously for, I think PCs are just going to make their way into the living room proper, I think.
No. The thing is, like, with your movie player, right? The movie player doesn't demand that you upgrade its hardware every rev, right? We've had DVD players for forever because they play DVDs and that's all they do, and they don't need a constant update to their hardware to be bigger and better than the other guy. As long as
all they do is get cheaper.
Yeah, all they do is get cheaper. The only thing that's going to, that's not what really drives this industry. What drives this industry is my box looks prettier, and that's always going to be there because it's like, you know, it's computer graphics, it's computer entertainment. And so as long as that sort of drive behind the technology is there, we are always going to have competition in that area. And it's not going to turn into the same thing. You're always going to have, you know, multiple systems trying to battle it out because everybody thinks they can, you know, push the limit.
Well, here's the thing, though. Even in graphics, there's a plateau that I think is coming pretty soon. You know, I mean, we're getting really close to, like, you know, photorealistic, graphics.
No, see, and, I think
and
you're wrong there.
The innovations now are starting to be in things more like physics and AI, and like eventually that's going to taper off. Nah.
I think you're wrong. I think the graphics fidelity is indeed reaching a plateau, but I think that there is so much more you could do with graphics fidelity and audio fidelity and physics.
I mean, you ever think about like games and about, yeah, I mean, you see the new Xbox and you're like, wow, that looks amazing. Like, I've been playing BioShock all weekend. You're like, wow, this is amazing. And yet at the same time, you see things in the game that you're like, this could look so much better. And that's always true of any game, I think, ever. I mean, there's always endless room for expansion. Like, why is it whenever you're playing Oblivion or BioShock or any game with ragdoll physics and you hit somebody with the wrench and they fall over, they got to wiggle on the ground like a snake even when they're supposed to be still?
Well, I think... Okay, so we were talking about this the other day, like when we were out eating, right? Me and a bunch of my friends from work.
You don't got friends.
Yeah, you're right. I don't have friends. But anyway, one of my not friends was saying that, you know, the rendering techniques we use in real time are relatively primitive. Like the kinds of lighting models we use and all this stuff are really primitive. And there are like Fong and Lambert and all that bullshit. There's like this level beyond that that's being used in all kinds of offline rendering techniques that is so much higher quality and so much better, and we're just about there. Like, there are real-time versions of that, like ray tracing, for instance. We don't have ray tracing in our real-time games yet, but we've got the hardware to do that now. It's just nobody does it yet. And so I think you're going to... It's like there's this breaking point right now, you know, in this generation where the next generation is going to have you know, a completely new look on a lot of the graphics techniques that we sort of take for granted today. And I don't think that's ever going to go away. I think people are going to continually push that.
Well, the downside to that, though, is that it, like, along with this extra processing power, it's going to take extra development costs to create, you know, to create code and assets that take advantage of that. So now, suddenly, like, from last generation to this generation, you know, costs have gone up, you know, from maybe like $2 to $5 million for the game up to like $20 million for a game. And, you know, honestly, people are going to notice those changes less and less, I think. You know, just noticing a different, you know, lighting model is going to be nothing compared to noticing the difference between, say, you know, standard def and high def graphics. So the costs here are going up exponentially, and then the perceived difference is not.
Okay, well, I get what you're saying there, but at the same time, I don't really... I mean, making the assets is one thing, but developing the technology is another. Like, I think what we're going to see in the future is a lot of specialization in the companies that are contributing to the overall product. Like, you've got Epic making the Unreal 3 engine. I think we're going to see a lot more of that kind of thing. You've got, you know, companies that are just devoted to making awesome physics middleware. So it'll be, you know, when you sit down and make your game engine for your next AAA title, it'll just be a matter of picking and choosing which of these middleware options you want, plugging them together, and all of a sudden you have this competitive game. You know, and I think there's going to be a shift between who's driving the advancements in fidelity over to these specialized companies rather than the game companies that are utilizing the technology. That being said, you're right, because, like, you know, to make a model nowadays, you know, it used to be you make your model, you drop it in the game, low poly, you paint a texture, and that is it. These days, you got to make a real super high poly model, you know, with gajillion polygons, with ZBrush or whatever. You got to normal map it down to a lower poly model. You got to texture both of those heats, and then you got to stick it in your game engine with all kinds of maps and all this other stuff. And that takes like four times as long, and you have to pay twice as much for it. So you're right, like that's going up, and the relative, like, the gain that you're getting from it is going down, or is decreasing. You know, the difference.
So our game's going to get more expensive.
Well, I don't know. Because you think about, like, movies, right? Movies have just gotten more and more and more and more expensive. And I guess we're paying more for the movie at the box office, but we don't pay more for the movie at point of sale, you know, Walmart or whatever. Lord of the Rings probably costs God knows how much to make, and I still pay, you know, $15 for that movie. So who knows? I mean, Blake Buck, you're supposed to be getting a marketing degree, or business, or whatever the hell you're getting.
The four P's of marketing. Product, placement. Oh, God!
Dude, pierogies and penis. Those are the last two.
Anyway, that got a little too academic, so Blake Buck, make a fart noise. Good.
But to close it out, what I would like to see, though, and where I do agree with our resident douchebag, Mr. Dyack, is, you know, like, eventually, like, what this would be, this one console future would be that the hardware would have the pressure to make sure that they're compatible with the games that are created and not the other way around. It's not like we have to develop this game for this Xbox. It's like we're developing this game now. Now Microsoft has to make sure that their console can play our game. That's something I would like to see.
I don't know, because, like, in the grand scheme of things, game developers have so little power in how everything works. Like, they don't get a lot of money to make the game in the first place. They don't have a lot of say. I mean, the publisher has a lot more say. And then you know, whoever you're going through to put your console out has a lot of say. So that'd have to be a pretty big shift. I mean, it'd be awesome if that happened, because, you know, giving the developer more power to sort of drive the industry would be fantastic. But you know, that'd be pretty hard.
I mean, yeah. I still don't think it will happen, but it would be cool to see.
Look, the decisions of publishers and their marketers behind them only reflect the views of what people want. I mean, you know, regardless of where it shifts, if you make a game that's not what people want, then you're not going to sell. So there's no, like, you know, villainizing of publishers. I mean, people going to buy Madden every year. And so that's what EA puts out real big every year is Madden. And a lot of people don't like it because it's the same thing over and over again.
Like me.
But, you know, if that's what people want, that's what you got to make.
That's true.
All right, also in the news, Viking officially announced for the PlayStation 3 and 360. So Sega has announced the next game in the Total War series by the developers Creative Assembly, which is called Viking, a God of War-style actioner steeped in Norse mythology.
Look, there better be like Ragnarok all in my eye when I play this game.
So it's you guys know what Total War is, right? They did like medieval Total War, Rome Total War.
There's lots of dudes.
Lots of dudes. I don't know if they're gonna go with that same style. They also did it was called like Spartan or something, or Total Spartan, Total Danger. I don't know, but it was kind of the same style, God of War action style, and apparently it sold terribly and got awful reviews. So maybe this is their attempt to save some face over their last nightmare. So they announced it at Leipzig, and they claim that it will let gamers, and I quote, experience for the first time ever the brutal yet spectacular world of the Vikings and their all-powerful gods. Totally not like God of War at all. It will feature a powered yet flawed warrior. Oh, this is nothing like
God
of War.
Oh, my God.
And he must stop the death goddess Hel, demonic Hels. That's her name? The death goddess name is Hel? Come on! Who wrote this shit? A fucking four-year-old? His demonic enemies from overrunning Midgard. And that's fucking Final Fantasy VII talk. And Ragnarok.
Son, all of this is straight from Norse mythology, you dumbass.
Dude, there's no such thing as
Norse. No! Norse mythology
ripped off Final Fantasy. Yes! We are on the same page.
Those bastages.
So, let's see. They got anything else to say? It's going to be blah, 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 blah. Yeah, it's the team that's working on this, it was the one that did Spartan Total Warrior, and they've been sitting in the corner for a few years not doing anything after that.
They're finally allowed to take their dunce cap off and make another game.
Time out.
Yeah, what is that they call it in Japanese developers when you fuck up bad? Oh, window seat. When you fuck up bad in a Japanese company, but they don't want to fire you, they give you what's called a window seat, where you just have a job that doesn't really do anything. That's what happened to old Game Boy guy, Gunpei Yokoi.
Wait, I don't know that story.
God,
what?
See, Blake Buck has a goddamn endless knowledge of the gaming industry.
Isn't that also the Metroid dude?
Yeah, Gunpei Yokoi, he did Metroid, he did the Game Boy, I think he even did the Game Boy, no, Game Boy Advance was after him, but he did the Game Boy Pocket, and the Game Boy Color, and then he went over to he did the Virtual Boy in like, you know, 95 or whatever. Ooh. And Nintendo, ooh, you know, lost millions on the Virtual Boy, and so they gave him a window seat and didn't let him work on any projects anymore. So he left that company and started working for WonderSwan. And you guys remember the WonderSwan and the WonderSwan Color?
Ooh.
Well, it was a fucking handheld game console, you retard.
I know what it is. I said ooh, indicating that it did bad.
Oh, I thought you were going to say ooh. I don't know what that is because I'm retarded. Equally likely. And he was about to come out with a new system right after the WonderSwan Color, and then he got hit by a car. Game over. He's dead.
Wow, I shouldn't be laughing at that, but that's... Wow.
Dude, that's like one of those fucking making the band tragedies you'll see on VH1. Like the band just like turns to cocaine after their big hit, and then the guy ends up behind a Denny's with like a needle in his arm.
Because let's face it, the WonderSwan Color was a little bit like cocaine. Let's be honest.
No, but seriously, I was like, how do you give that man a window seat after he makes your best-selling console ever, the Game Boy? But like, you know,
dude,
what? After the version, it's like, you know what, dude, you can have
a
mulligan.
I really do think there are two things that give you abortions. And that's Octomax and Virtual Boys. I aborted 3 children with a Virtual Boy. Works every time. Oh, it hurts! It hurts my eyes, my baby! Wow. I'm going to retract that. So Viking is going to be great. Coming out next gen, awesome.
Dude, it better, because you know what? We're having a drought of Viking games. Not since Rune.
Rune.
Have I gotten to play a Viking? Because Vikings, you know, if you look at them, they're awesome. They're like pirates with axes. So this should be a recipe for awesomeness.
Man, I love Viking mythology. So in Viking mythology, right, when you die and you've been good, right,
you go to Asgard.
You go to Valhalla.
Oh, that's right.
Right. And in Valhalla, all you do all day is fight and eat and drink. Because that's all men should do, is fight, eat, and drink. And then when Ragnarok comes, you get to fight and eat and drink you know, until you die, because that's because you they end up losing Ragnarok, the gods of chaos or something come and take over everybody. But still, until then, you get to do a lot of eating and drinking and fighting.
Wait, so when they die in Ragnarok, do they go back to Valhalla and eat and drink and fight some more?
No. Like, is this like an infinite Ragnarok loop? Is when. All right, so look, Ragnarok is when all the dudes in Valhalla and all the dudes in Hell come out and, like, battle each other on Earth and kill everybody.
Dude, this is my new religion. I'm swapping.
Swap.
We're gonna sit down at night and pray to Odin.
You gotta change your religion civic, Blake Buck.
Yeah, I gotta drag the new one in. I moved from, like, there's, like, a cross there, now just put in this axe into the slot. So maybe this will be good. It's from a so-so developer, but it's got a lot of money behind it, so I think this could turn out. So Asgard next spring, or not Asgard, Battle for Asgard Viking next spring. Check it out. All right, now it's time for releases, baby.
All right, this week in releases, we've got the mother of all releases, second only to Madden, which we did last week. We got BioShock for PC and Xbox 360, dated August 21st, 2007. We all know what BioShock is. We're actually going to have a judgment on BioShock.
I got a lot to say about BioShock. So
Playbug's got to take a big duke all over BioShock. We got Two Worlds for Xbox 360 and PC, dated August 23rd. Two Worlds is a fantasy role-playing game for the PC and Xbox 360.
Yay.
We also have Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2.
I love it.
Like, you know, we did that Crystal Heart Crystal show. We should do, like, a Tom Clancy
show. It's Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 3, The Revenge of the Dead.
Danger! It just says danger at the
danger,
end.
Danger, Las Vegas.
What was I going to say? You remember that game that we used to make fun of? The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, The Battle for Middle Earth 2, The Rise of the Witch King. Right? That was an RTS that came out about a year ago. Well, The Rise of the Witch King, to me, sounds a lot like, what is it called? On the new expansion for World of Warcraft. What is it called?
Wrath of the Lich King.
Yeah. Rise of the Witch King and Wrath of the Lich King.
So anyway, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter 2 is a tactical shooter.
Dude, I love this description. It returns for a second showing of tactical shooting excitement.
This was not written by PR at all.
All right, we also have Dragoneers Aria for the PSP.
Oh, boy.
Guess what kind of game this is. Take control of Valen, the novice Dragoneer. Protect the elemental dragons from a fearsome monster.
You always
got to
start these games as a bitch. Hey, I'm a dragon man. I'm going to fight. Oh, I got my ass beat. Guess I have to level up some. This is a fresh new experience. I want to start a game where you beat ass and then get suckier.
Look, that's why I like Final Fantasy IV so much. It's one of my favorites, because you start out as, like, the most badass dude ever, and you remain that way the rest of the game.
Dude, any RPG that I play and my first battle is against either a rat or an insect, that's going back to the store.
All right, what else we got, Justin Fick?
All right, also we have Jeanne d'Arc for PSP.
Jeanne d'Arc. Joan of Arc.
Jeanne d'Arc is an RPG inspired by the deeds of Joan of Arc with a fantasy twist. So that means Joan of Arc starts out as a bitch and kills rats.
She get burned.
You ruined the end of that book.
I just spoiled it for all you guys who are going to play this game.
Or is that
I'm sorry.
A movie? I don't know. All right, rounding out the list, we've got Brunswick Bowling for the Wii, PS2, and PSP coming out August 21st. It's bowling. What could you possibly say about bowling?
Look, it's got career mode.
Oh, damn! I can mimic the career of, what's his name? The dude.
Dude, I'll have you know that Justin Fick has the full set of Big Lebowski people's me's for his Wii bowling. So I better be able to use them and level them up. And they'll start out as bitches and they'll kill rats with bowling balls.
All right, next we got Combat Mission : Shock Force.
I love it.
The Combat Mission is coming out on the PC on the 22nd. The Combat Mission series continues with this latest sequel, As in there's more than one? Like this is the third game? Oh, God. In which players lead a multinational effort to restore order to Syria after a 2007 coup. That sounds
Man,
great.
Is this one of these, like, politically sensitive shooter games?
Oh, I'm so sick of this about? Garbage. Everybody's like Hayes, we're gonna change the way you think about war forever. Okay, thanks, Hayes. H-A-Z-E.
Dude, what about shoot dudes needs to be changed?
No, no. It's a perfect formula.
All right, and finally, we got Brain Age 2, More Training in Minutes a Day, coming out on August 20th. This is just more Brain Age. I guess there's new modes or something. I can't
wait to have this low polygon count head chastising me about how stupid I am.
Look, Blake Buck's never played this game because it's got a word he didn't like in the title, brain.
Well, this is Mother Brain. That's okay.
They're not called Mother Brain. I can deal with that. And also, the brain was bad. See, by default, all brains are bad in my book. All right, well, now it's time for the judgment. All right, ladies, here it is, BioShock for the Xbox 360 / PS3. Now, I'll have you know, Blake Buck, now you might just say, well, when we're recording this show, the game just came out today, but I've been playing it all week, because I got some connections, and I got somebody to sneak me a copy of this game a little bit early last Wednesday. So I've been playing it all week, and basically, for those of you who don't know, who've been living under a rock, BioShock is a first-person shooter set in the world of Rapture, a secret underwater, I'm trying to give it all the marketing buzzwords, a secret underwater world established by this guy named Andrew Ryan. The game is set in the 1960s, but this underwater city was built in the 1940s, so it's got a very, like, retro art style. All the menus and stuff have, you know, very Art Deco stylings to them. It's a first-person shooter with... They call it the genetically enhanced first-person shooter because you can get, like, these things called plasmids, and they give you abilities like zap.
Magic.
Or burn. Yeah, basically magic. What else is there? There's, like, one where you can launch a horde of insects. You can make stuff... not teleport. What's it? Levitate? Or telekinesis is what they call it in the game.
Dude, I better get Morph Ball.
Dude, there is no Morph Ball.
Damn it.
Dude, but you can shoot f***ing bees.
That's you out of your fist. So you go around and you gotta level up your... Well, this game has I won't say a strong RPG element because it's not so much that it would feel daunting, but it definitely has RPG elements spruced in. You level up your dude by getting more of this stuff called Atom, which is this juice found in the bodies of dead people. And these little girls go around called little sisters, and they suck up the juice and store it, I guess, inside themselves or whatever. And so you're like, oh, well, I'm just going to shoot this girl and get all her juice, right? Wrong. Because there's this big dude called the Big Daddy, who's this guy with the big drill arm that's on the front who's going to kill you if you try and attack the little girl. So most of the gameplay kind of revolves around this dynamics of getting new powers, having to kill these big daddies to get the new upgrades. You can collect money in the game and buy upgrades. You can hack turrets and stuff. So there's a lot of depth to it, a lot of different ways to play the game. So I'll just go ahead and get through the meat of this here. So the pros of this game, because I'm sure everybody knows what this game is who listens to this show. It's been that's one thing I don't like about this game right off the bat. Everybody talks like, oh, this is the people who made System Shock 2. Yeah, that game was good, but that was like 10 years ago. This developer hasn't really done a whole lot since then. They did SWAT and SWAT. Oh, no, they did SWAT 4 and the SWAT 4 expansion, which I believe is right up there with Combat Mission Shock Force. And, you know, they're not really a super big developer, but they've gotten all this press, which I don't understand. But I guess the game, you know, the game speaks for itself. It's very impressive looking, so perhaps so. So the pros, it's got excellent graphics. You know, all the details are very good. One thing some people noted on the internet today I was reading, it says when you play it on a widescreen monitor, like the top and the bottom are cut off, and some people were complaining about that. It didn't bother me. I didn't notice it. But very impressive graphics. It uses the Unreal 3 engine. All the water effects are very impressive. You know, when you start the game, you land in the ocean.
Now, wait, didn't we say last show that it was using the Unreal 2 engine for BioShock?
Unreal 2?
No, oh, that was somebody, okay, I was talking to somebody at work about this, and apparently, well, according to this person at work, they use the Unreal 2 engine for BioShock, not the Unreal 3 engine. But I could be wrong about that, I don't know.
I don't know. All I know is it says Unreal when I press the power button. So, yeah, but the water effects are very impressive. All next, it's got very excellent music and sound for the most part. You know, it plays some period music, like from speakers. You'll hear some, I don't even know what you would call honky tonk. That's all I can describe it as. So some older, more retro tunes that were kind of cool, and you know, they kind of play well with these retro tunes and the more atmospheric standard stuff you used to hearing with first-person shooters like Fear or Doom or Prey or whatever, you know, your standard grade first-person shooter music. It's got a fantastic art style and atmosphere. It really reminds me a lot, certainly in, like, the menus and the icons of, what is that game? Fallout and Fallout 2. Remember how it had, like, that you know, all the icons yep. had this very mm-hmm. specific art style that was kind of, I would almost call it like a, you know, like an educational film for children. You know, how they have, like, the cartoon people and stuff. So, and all the architecture and stuff is designed around this 1940s style. So, very cool art style. The new dynamics it brings to the first-person shooters genre, like the plasmids, the big daddies, hacking, all that, none of it's really new, but the way they put it together is really, there are two kinds of good games. You can either revolutionize or do what somebody else has done, but a lot better. And I think this game fits into the latter category because it brings these elements you've seen in other games, but does them a lot better and they work well together. Finally, on the pros, it's fairly lengthy, about 15 to 20 hours or so. So it's a fairly long... Now, I haven't beaten it yet. I watched my roommate play through it and beat it, but I've only gotten about maybe a little over halfway in my own game. But I feel comfortable. That's as good as you're going to get out of Blake Buck. So let's talk about the cons. My main problem, which no reviews I've looked on the internet have noted this thus far, is that it's fairly low on replay value. Once you beat the game, I guess you could go through and play with maybe different powers or, you know, try emphasizing on different aspects of the game. But other than that, there's no unlockables. There's no new modes you get. There's no new difficulties. It's very, even the main menu is very bare bones. For those of you who played the demo, that demo menu is pretty much the exact same as in the regular game. Like, I thought the demo was a placeholder menu. It's like start, load, credits. That's all it says. So, yeah, my main problems with it are the lack of unlockables and just the front end is a little crude. Also, the default difficulty is way too easy. And really, even if you crank up the difficulty, they have these things called Vita chambers, which is when you die, you reappear in one of these at the last chamber you passed. But when you come back, you still have all your items, you still have all your weapons, and you have full health, and anything you've done since then has still occurred. It's not like a load. So if you went to a room and killed half the dudes in that room, but then died, and you come back, you now only have to kill half as many enemies. So, even on the harder difficulties, the game is still pretty easy. I mean, it's really impossible to lose. As long as you just keep running out of these chambers shooting dudes, you're going to win the game. The final boss is different. You do have to beat the final boss legitimately, I would say. But, it was a little lame, the final boss. The sound can be weird some of the times. Like, you'll hear a guy, and you know he's around you, like an enemy, but you can't really figure out where he is. I know it might help if you had, like, a 5.1 surround sound system. Maybe that would help, but on stereo sound, I had trouble. You know, you hear a guy yelling at you from somewhere, and you can't find where they are.
The other thing I noticed, too, from playing the demo is that just walking around, your footsteps aren't totally obvious that those are your footsteps, so I kept, like, you know, spinning around.
Yeah.
Like, what the f*** was that? But no, that was just me walking on a plank.
Yeah, the footsteps don't really sound like they're your own. I don't know. There's something weird about the sound. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it's hard to gauge where people are and what's making noise. So yeah, the game's a little... And finally, for a game that is set underwater with water spraying out all the time like you're going to drown, you can never drown in this game. Ever. What the fuck?
What?
They'll like spray water in your face like, oh, you're going to drown! You're going to drown! But like the threat of drowning is never present in the game whatsoever. Which maybe that's because of the way they're doing the save system, but I mean, I thought at least one or two sections where I'm trying to swim out of the hole or something would have been fun. But overall, it's getting a thumbs up. I don't know. Everybody on the internet's giving it perfect scores. It's a good game. I would definitely pick it up if you got a 360 or a PC. But don't listen to these. I can't believe sites are giving this like 9.9, 10, 10, straight 10s across the board. It's good, but come on. This is another Gears of War. It's good, but come on review. So, yeah, BioShock. Check it out.
Excellent.
All right, now it's time for the jank.
I ain't a winner. Got a hot hand. Place your bets.
Oh, God damn it. I hate it when I have a judgment and then immediately have to do a jank after that. That's the way, because I've been talking for 10 straight minutes. All right, so well, this is a good jank, though. I hope you guys are ready. This is a phenomenal jank that I didn't even mean to happen. So, as some of you may know, I might have mentioned this on the show, my Xbox broke about a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. So they sent me my coffin box. I put it in there, sent it back, and about a month later, I got my new Xbox. But there's a problem. You get your new Xbox, it's not the one you sent in. They essentially, it's like you put in your Xbox into the machine, and they give you out, like, whoever's is rolling off the line right then. So I got some other dude's Xbox instead of my own so they could get it back to me faster. Which is all fine and dandy, except since your, what is it called, your serial number isn't the same, none of your downloadable content can be played offline. So you try and, like, go to Symphony of the Night and play that. Unless you're signed in and connected to the internet, you can't play the game.
Lame.
That's lame, because BlakeBuck has a lot of downloadable content, even in games, like Crackdown. When I tried to play Crackdown, I couldn't even access my save because of all that downloadable, like, I was using all the new weapons and stuff from the downloadable content. So, if you get your Xbox sent in, you might be up for the jank's coming. Don't worry. So, BlakeBuck, being the angry bitch that he is, called Microsoft up at 1-800-4-MY-XBOX and listened to that goddamn robot. Hi, this is Max. I'm going to help you with all your Xbox needs. Do you want help on Xbox One or Xbox 360? Xbox 360. Xbox One. Got it. F*** you, robot! Surprisingly, it does not understand F*** you, robot. So finally, I get connected to an agent. I tell them the problem. They're like, "All right, we're gonna refund your points. We're gonna send because you can't you." Let me stop for a sec. I'm getting ahead of myself. What you can do is you can't re-download the content. I thought, I'll just re-download it. But you have to, the first time you download it, it links it to your serial number, whatever content you download. So I can't download it again because it's not the first time. So what the guys at Microsoft told me to do on the phone, they said you should set up a separate gamer account. And we're going to give you codes to download all your old content again on a separate account. That way you'll be able to access it both when you're offline and when you're online with your first account. So I was like, all right, that sounds fine and good. So then they were supposed to call me back after a week. Well, about 3 weeks went by and I had no call back. So BlakeBuck was yet again pissed and on the phone with, hi, this is Max. Do you want Xbox One or 360? Finally, I get on the phone. They put me, after all is said and done, I finally get through to this guy after going through about four people. And he's like, all right. I got your codes right here, baby. And he begins to read off Microsoft point codes to me that I can put in. Now, I'll have you f***ing know. Microsoft point codes are 25 characters long and contain letters and numbers. Trying to hear this shit over the phone was an absolute nightmare. Because B, D, C, T, all of them sound the same over the phone. So he was using, like, words like Tango, Delta, you know, instead of the actual
nice.
Letter itself. And for X, it was Xbox. I thought that was a nice touch. Anyway, so the story's taking too long. So I finally get my points, and I'm so excited, and I'm putting in all my points. Now, keep in mind, BlakeBuck has downloaded a lot of content. A lot. And he gave me points totaling up to, I shit you not, 18,000 Microsoft points.
Damn, son.
Wow.
That's damn near $250. So, I'm excited. I'm ready to start re-downloading my content. I put it in my Xbox, but then something occurred to me. I put all the codes in. I had all the points, and I realized, oh, shit. I did this on my first account.
New games.
So, I can't re-download the old stuff now, so I just have $250 in points that I guess I just get to spend.
Golden Axe.
So... I don't know. I guess I'm just going to spend these points. So that's how you get $250 in free Microsoft points.
That's like a dupe bug in the system. You found the dupe bug.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if I spend them, they'll catch on or something. I don't know. But there's no way once you enter the code, you can't take them back out. So I guess I'll just use them. I don't have any other choice. So there you go. That's how you get $250 of Microsoft points.
That's pretty great.
My downloading needs are fucking solved for the next year.
What are you talking about, Blake Buck? That's like a week, maybe a week and a half for Blake Buck.
Dude, Blake Buck's going to go down the list of gamer pictures and just get them all.
See, I bet Microsoft's going to hear this, and they're going to take my points away now. We took your points back. So, yeah, it's time for the discussion.
We don't have a discussion, son. What are you doing?
We got a discussion.
Do we not have a discussion?
We got a discussion.
Oh, we do.
That's right, baby.
Lucas, our sound editor, gave me this idea for the discussion. Porno games.
Porno games. I was reading on the websites the other day that the same guy that made World of Warcraft. Did we talk about this on the last show?
No.
The same guy that made, because like the conversations I have with my friends at work kind of bleed over into the conversations I have with you guys. So, so the same guys that made World of Warcraft, which is this World of Warcraft themed porno site. I mean, they don't like draw World of Warcraft characters or anything, but they have like hot chicks dressed up like elves with swords and stuff. So the same guy that made that made like the FPS porn site. Like first-person shooter themed porno. I don't think it's launched yet, but
look, I'm way
that's
into
ridiculous
that.
To me. Like I've got to see what that looks like,
dude. It's just right you now. Running. It's just you running through a hall, and instead of like the tip of your shotgun sticking out, it's the tip of your wang.
No, that game you just described is called. We've already talked about it. That's Itagaki Street. You just go down
that's
the street.
That's another game we'll make eventually, Itagaki Street. No, remember, in Itagaki Street, you're a woman. You have to get through Itagaki Street without being raped. It's a really hard game. I haven't beat it yet.
Oh, man, raped again.
Damn. All right, porno game. Well, see, this is where we need, like, Brenda Brathwaite on the show again to talk about porno games. She has just about every single one of them that exist, I think.
Why is that? Why is she the go-to girl on porn and video
games? I don't know. That's like
games.
She after she did whatchamacallit?
Playboy
the Mansion. She like niched herself in this she's like the expert now on porno games. But anyway. So, what are the basic types of porno games? Well, we got the Japanese hentai, right? Should I rape a Yumi? Yes, no.
Porno games always break. Those are like the
primary. Well, see, those Japanese games do have their roots in ancient Atari history. If you remember Custer's Revenge, it's all about you as a cowboy raping the tied up Indian. And you have to avoid the arrows that are coming down at your dick.
Yeah, I remember that. Well, I don't think I've ever actually played that game, but I've seen it many times.
That's also happened to me several times in real life. Indians shooting at my penis.
That's the story of your life, Blippa.
I'm never going to Maharaja ever again.
Dude, the Maharaja is like a person.
The Maharaja is an Indian restaurant here in Oxford, Mississippi.
Lucas, this is a bad topic. Bad.
So let's talk about the different kind of porno games, right? You've got I'm gonna call this one set choice, where it's just a series of choice that leads to images or video, right?
Yeah, your adventure game.
Right, the adventure game. Sometimes they include leveling up dynamics like yo dick got water.
No, your dick starts out as a bitch and has to rape rats in the beginning. When you level up, you get +2 to balls, and you can rape bigger things.
All right, so you got the adventure one. Then I guess you got Second Life. That's a category all to itself.
Now, see, I was thinking about the Second Life the other day. We always make fun of it, but that could be hot. Now, hear me out.
Wait, we're not.
You're gonna have to explain this one.
You dug this.
I don't know. I never really thought about the appeal of Second Life, but I can see how people could get into, like, if you may, because it's not like you watch other porn. Why am I talking about this? But other porn games always feature, you know, you as a character, but in Second Life, you are the character. You can make your own custom avatar, you know, make them look like you if you want. So I think that's the distinction between Second Life and other porno games is the high amount of user integration and interaction.
Blake Buck, is there something you want to tell us?
I've been on Second Life all week.
You know what needs to happen, Blake Bugs? We need to make you a character in Second Life that looks exactly like you, and you have sex with everything in there.
Now, see, here's how I have a friend. I have a friend who told me about Second Life the other day, and how it works. This is totally my friend, not me, guys. Totally. But what he said, see, I was reading an article about how you can get raped in Second Life. Now, how this works is you have what's called animation rights, and you can give animation rights to somebody. So, like, they come by you, and they're like, oh, hey, if you give me animation rights, I'll give you a cool prize. Let's check it out. And you go, okay, and then they animate them fucking you in the butt on the street. So, like, all the sex and stuff is done through the, like, you can assign animation rights to a person or obtain them yourself for another character.
Okay, so animation rights means you can animate someone else, so I can put you on, like, this whole bondage rack, and you'll animate your character on my bondage rack.
Right, so I don't have to go and make all my own bondage rack animations for my character. If I give them to you, some cyber slut who's got all the databases and libraries of all the animations ever, she knows everything I want and dream.
the cybernatrix, if you will.
I honestly did not play Second Life.
That's right.
This is a friend of mine who plays it sometimes. Uh-huh, I swear.
Look,
we need to get him on the
show.
Here's
what we need to do, guys. If anybody out there's got a spare Second Life account, they need to make Blake Buck
free.
The avatar, like, as realistic as possible. We'll give you reference images and all that.
Map that face on there somehow.
Make it real square. Look, you can do it.
No, face.jpg. I want it right then. Now, that mouth is already open. Do with that what you will.
And it'd be awesome. Like, we can make the account public. So we could give the password. We put the password stuff on our site. And we'd have, like, Second Life-based challenges.
You might have a Second Life battle.
We've got to go seek out and do something with, you know, fox penises or something with Blake Buck's avatar.
I like this idea. I like it.
Needs awesome. To have bestdamnpodcastever.com on his t-shirt.
Yeah, he's got to be wearing one of our game. T-shirts.
Yeah, William Miller, one of our t-shirts, right?
Look, son.
Where's that new design at site?
Look, son.
Where's it at, son?
That's blakebuck.com/shirt.jpg. Go look at it.
Oh, no, that is where it is. No, it's blakebuck.com. No, that's not it.
It might be blakebuck.com/stuff/shirt.jpg, something like that. But it's there.
You can find our new shirt if you look. All right, so what else about porno games? What other kinds are there? There's like the fighting-style porno games.
Oh, like Choaniki. We loved Choaniki back in high school. You remember that, Blake Buck? We couldn't figure out how to do the like, masturbate move to build up your strength. We could not figure out how to do it. Like,
you're going to have to explain this one to me nice and slow.
All right. So Choaniki was this sort of homoerotic fighting game, right? And it wasn't real. I mean, it was homoerotic, but it wasn't, like, pornographic. It was almost pornographic.
Big men in tight clothes.
Yeah, even like the female characters. I think there were two female characters. Even the female characters had these, like, muscular, like, half-naked cherubs, like, floating around flexing all the time. Like, it was ridiculous, this game. If you ever played Choaniki, you can get a ROM of it. It's for Super Nintendo. I think they even made, like, a shoot-em-up for PlayStation 2 that's sort of themed the same way.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I think Choaniki, I saw that.
Like, the type of game, there are a couple of them. The type of game Choaniki isn't necessarily the same from version to version. But anyway, this is a fighting game. So what you would do is, you'd beat each other up, and you had this, like, I don't know, spooge meter, right? And somehow you could, like, build up the spooge meter, and you could fire this massive, like, beam across the screen. Of course it would fire from your crotch, always.
Dude, it's the man beam.
It's man beam. So, you know, you start out with enough spooge to do it once, but we could never figure out how to build it up to do it again, so we were really bad at this game. But this game featured some of the greatest environments. You had the man meadows, right?
Which were man
train. The man train. You had the Church of Man. You had Mantropolis. You had Manlantis.
Man bowl. Remember, that was one of the characters. Man bowl. It was a bowl.
It was
of
bowl
man.
Of man. Yeah, he was like naked man in like a half moon bowl. It was weird.
Oh my god.
Weird. You gotta go check that one out.
Oh yeah, totally. I'll get right on that
album
one.
Art. I'll go get. I'll get some screenshots put in the album art.
Yeah, there. Man.
I was player one. You were player two. So what other kinds of porno games are there?
Now, I think it's possible we might see the ultra-realistic porno game in the future, because we have Manhunt, And it takes killing dudes to a whole new level. So we can have stuff.
That's true.
Instead of manhunt, it's like
you got
man
like Jenna Jameson's. You got Jenna Jameson's game.
Oh, that's right. Like there's a whole series of games that's like photo shoot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Like you see a lot of these. I watch Cinematheque all the time on G4, and they often show these Japanese games that are just like hot girl wriggling on the ground. Take photos of her to win. You got to get the hot spot or whatever.
Oh, there's also
dude. It's like that Pokemon Snap only with vaginas.
There's also like porno games that are sort of attached or like bootstrapped to regular game. Like there's porno mahjong games. I don't know if you've got the big MAME database like me and Buck have. You know, you could dig up some of these like mahjong mahjong porno games, or like the ones where you have this little pin, I guess.
You gotta unveil the picture.
You have like the silhouette.
Oh, you gotta clear the tiles and there's boobies underneath it.
What's it called? Like Quicks? You guys remember that game?
Yeah.
With the line. There was like they'll have like you'll see pornographic versions of that on MAME lists. Not that
actually,
I have.
Actually, we did a review.
Lists.
Simon, my roommate, and I did a review of a porno game like that for BDPE. I think it's in our archive somewhere. It's got pictures of us playing it in boobies. We saw him.
I saw him.
William Miller is now a man. That's the low frequency man beam.
Yeah.
So what? Now porno games have always been kind of on the fringe of gaming. You can never really get them obviously not at big retailers, not even at small retailers. They're usually distributed online. Usually, even a lot of them are web based or through specific online stores. I know what's that? Something Awful has that J-List site. Something Awful is sponsored by J-List, and they sell a bunch of these, not just Japanese porno games, but just Japanese collectibles in general. So there are a lot of these, like, importer sites where you can get this kind of stuff, if you're interested. Lord knows I'm not. I get regularly.
Make sure you bleep that out. Please. Like, not because of the crudeness of that word, but just that word and Blake Buck in the same sentence. I don't want to hear it. A second time. I want Blake Buck and man in the same sentence. I mean,
yeah, I was gonna say, I think it's the first time I've ever heard reference to that that did involve Blake Buck getting in some fashion.
All right, so do you guys see pornographic games ever coming to the forefront? I mean, certainly games are getting racier with guys like Itagaki in the gaming industry. Hey, what is it? Dead or Alive, Extreme Beach Volleyball. They certainly are pushing the limit in terms of what you can do with, sexually charged material. Do you ever see that seeping into the mainstream?
Well, see, I never really saw the point of, like, pornographic games. It's like, if I'm enjoying pornography, which I do on a regular basis, I want as little user interaction as possible. because I'm busy. I'm a busy man.
I need to be able to play this with one hand.
Yeah. I don't want to have to do this and have to fucking mouse click my responses to questions. Just shut up. Just shut up and dance.
Justin Fick's first porno game, Shut Up and Dance. Very similar to Shut Up and Jam.
I can't really picture people like I can't picture people getting off to something like Custer's Revenge.
Well, I don't think that game was made to get people off.
I don't know.
Oh no!
I think that game was made to be gross. I mean, I think his penis was literally like 3 pixels in a diagonal. Like,
no, I think that was a more horizontal penis, if I recall correctly. IIRC.
Oh, okay. But I don't certainly see them ever come. I mean, just America in America, maybe over in other countries, but America is very Christian oriented, and we don't even we talk to some of our UK listeners and they think it's ridiculous that we don't curse in our show, and you go over to Europe and there's not hardcore pornography, but there's softcore porn that runs late at night.
It's like HBO stuff you can get on late night television,
and it's not a big deal. I remember it was 8 o'clock when I went to London a few years ago. It was like 7 o'clock at night and bam, there they were, titties on the screen it was on like What is it called? BBC. It was on like BBC 4. I mean, it wasn't even an off-brand network. So perhaps in other countries before the U.S., but maybe one day we'll see porno games.
Dude, or take Japan. I was watching Lady Snowblood from my Netflix last night, And they had trailers for other Japanese movies. And bam, there's boobies all in these trailers. Like it was nothing. Like, they'd actually have, like, you know, starring Japanese chick here, and she's sitting here topless talking about having sex. I'm like, wow.
They've got some strange like rules over there too. Like, you can't show pubic hair. That's one of the things you can't do. In Japan.
I often think about Japan and how it doesn't make sense, but it really doesn't make sense in the United States either. Like, our rules.
It makes no sense in the United States. Like you can show just about everything in a rated R movie, right? I mean, you can't show, like, I don't know.
William Miller, the nipples are sacred. Sacred!
But you can't do that in a game. So one of the things that adult-only games have big problems with is distribution. I mean, you can get, you know, funding probably to make the game because the porn industry is huge, but actually getting the game out there is very difficult.
Yeah, you're probably not going to get your rated T for teen.
Probably not.
Now, God of War did get away with some boobies with an M rating, if I do recall. Both of them.
That it did, and it was in Walmart even. Like, it's just funny how that kind of slipped under the radar while Grand Theft Auto was getting ripped to pieces.
Absolutely. Yeah, I guess maybe it's
again, there's this dual standard between what is acceptable in a film and what is acceptable in a game. Because again, everybody's still under this notion that games are only for kids and you shouldn't, you know, put anything bad in them. And so I think that's going to go away eventually. You know, again, when you know, people in our demographic are, you know, the dad and the mom, they're not going to see any problem with it, you know, buying games for themselves or when their kids are old enough.
Yeah, people just need to realize that their kids are out there raping Ayumi with their level 15 penis.
They were done with the rats. Now it's on to Ayumi.
Yeah. The grind is over.
Or is it?
Or has it just begun?
Oh, God, this is terrible. This is terrible. It's time for emails.
No, it's not. It's time to call up Mr. Evan.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
It's go time.
Hello.
Evan.
Yes.
Have you completed your mission?
I have.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Do you have?
He did it.
Do you have photographic evidence of said mission?
I do.
Awesome. That's it. All right. Now.
Excellent.
We want to hear the story.
Okay. So, first, I want to make it known that Battle took precedence over playing Bioshock. Let's just get that on the table right now.
That's good.
And let's also let it be known that I don't have my car with me this week, so I had to hoof it to the nearest McDonald's like 2 miles away. This basically involves sprinting halfway across town and back to make sure I could get there within the time.
Nice.
The other thing, too, is that I got so excited when William Miller said Octomac that I completely stopped paying attention and missed out on what the other half of what I was supposed to do with it was. So I just assumed that I heard something like take it to the top of a building or a tower and eat it there. It took me 30 minutes to get to McDonald's and back, and I probably looked like the world's biggest asshole sprinting across town with a huge bag of McDonald's in my hand. Came home, constructed the thing, climbed up to the top of my apartment building, and devoured that son of a bitch.
Well,
dude, it's like, have you guys ever seen that movie Run Lola Run, where she has 20 minutes to get like $100,000 and they kill her boyfriend? Same thing, only it's, instead of that, she's getting a hamburger.
So, the last part of the challenge was...
What did you actually say?
The last part of the challenge was you have to take the Octomac and attempt to exchange it for a game at GameStop.
Oh,
But look, we are impressed already that...
Not top.
What? GameStop, right?
It was GameStop, not top.
Yes, GameStop. But you know, that's okay because, look, you're a legend.
I think I think he even gets bonus points because he heard it and he did it.
Well, not only that, but he heard it and then he made it up after he like made up another part of it. Went out on a limb there.
It's improvisational points.
So excellent. Well done. Well done, Evan.
Thank you. Thank you.
Congratulations, Evan R.
So, Evan R., who's your favorite podcast?
It's the best damn podcast ever.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Take it easy, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Adios.
Oh, man.
Fantastic.
I thought that was going to be a weird situation where we had to buzzer him even though we didn't want to. No. He thought we said big top. And he did that.
Look, just be known. This is probably the last battle that will involve eating something large.
And also,
because we never really intended you to eat the thing. We just wanted you to try to exchange it for the game. At the GameStop. We wanted that classic picture of that heat on that glass table.
I'm telling you, this is even better, though.
Should we save this battle concept, the GameStop? Should we say that? Because people know what it is now.
There will be something, believe me.
That's true. Yeah, you could get this challenge. You could.
All right, so congratulations, Evan R. You are a king among men. And Lucas, put some victory music in here for our boy, Evan. So hats off. Now, if you want to be a contestant in battle, what do you have to do, William Miller?
Well, I'll tell you, Blake Buck. You can either drop us a line on our listener line. That's 845-BATTLE-9. Now, we were thinking about some logistics with this, and one of the things we were worried about when trying to come up with this battle is time zone. So if you could give us the time zone you're in, because we got to know if certain places are open or if it's night outside or whatever. So leave your name, your phone number, and your time zone. Or you can send us an email at feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com. Include the same information, and you will be entered. You'll have your own dossier in our file, our battle file. So we'll do all these extensive background checks.
We only got a handful of submission guys. So if you enter our contest, your odds of being called are quite high, quite high. So. Give us a call.
Oh, also, one other thing to include is your forum name, if you're on the forum. If you're on the forum and you win battle, you get a special forum name. Also, if you lose battle, you get a special forum name. So, it's a toss-up.
The stakes are high.
Stakes are high.
That's right. All right, well, now it's time for feedback. All right, no calls on the listener line other than some battle entries this week, guys. So what about the emails?
All right, we got one from Brian C., not Brian Crescente, unfortunately. We would love to have Brian Crescente on this show. Just love it. I have dreams about the wind blowing through his hair and
his blouse.
All other sorts of things that I can't talk about on the show. But anyway, Brian C. says, "Greetings, gentlemen. The Xbox 360 arrived well over 2 years ago, and the Wii and PS3 came out about 9 months ago. So when do we stop calling the current generation of consoles next generation? Or when we end up in a weird situation similar to the art world where the modern period ended 50 years ago? Will PS4 and Xbox 720 be post-gen? Brian C." It's a good question.
I like that, post-next-gen.
It's just like the art world, post-modern, post-post-modern.
I like double gin.
I like better gin. Well, I guess it starts being called current gin when the specs for and the hype about the next gen starts to show up. So whenever, you know, they start talking about PlayStation 4 and Xbox 720 or whatever, that's when we're going to start referring to things as current gen. But who knows?
All right, so Dylan B., he writes, "Yo, BDPE crew, I'm a relatively new listener to your show, and I have to say, it's pretty kick-ass." Well, thank you. "Thanks mostly to your podcast, my recent army training at Fort Lewis was semi-bearable. At least it let me catch up on all 50-ish of your episodes. That being said, dudes, what the fuck? Left 4 Dead. I was outside of the internets for over a month, and I hear no stirrings, even on forums, about Left 4 Dead. Blake Buck, this heat should be right up your alley. 28 Days Later meets Half-Life 2. Please spread your thoughts on what you think might be a damn fine game to come." So, if you guys, I don't know about you guys, but Left 4 Dead is it's like a survival horror first-person shooter where you can play with multiple people. It looks pretty hot. You guys seen that?
I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it, but I can dig it.
Look, we Miller like 28 Days Later.
It's got like lots of zombies on screen, and I know they're emphasizing the multiplayer aspect, so it's looking pretty cool. So as soon as it gets to release, I'm sure we'll be talking about it more. So don't worry, Dylan B. Keep fighting the good fight for us. And we'll
in America.
That's right.
Fight that good fight too.
Dude, Dylan B. is in the fight force.
He is in the fight force, the real fight force.
Fight force at Fort Lewis.
Well, we'll try to do our best to keep you going over there. Doing a good job. All right, we got one from Peachy. It says, dudes, the Octomac ain't no way to abort a bastard child. You need the energy drink Relentless. Apparently there's an energy drink called Relentless. Peachy, he's speaking in the third person now. Peachy has to get up at 6 to get to college, and he don't like that. So he gets pure green energy. On the back it says not suitable for pregnant women. Ergo, it has become known as liquid abortion. Are you serious? Like
liquid abortion?
No, it's not really gonna abort something.
I'm clicking this link.
It's not gonna abort something. It's the same reason like alcohol says not suitable for pregnant women. You're not gonna miscarry.
No, but if an energy drink does have that label on it, that's still pretty damn funny.
Look, Rockstar energy drink has the same label.
I don't drink that. Tastes like Jolly Ranchers in water.
Jolly Ranchers and battery acid.
Dude, Justin Fick is going to come out with an energy drink called Liquid Crunk.
No, dude, that's already out there.
They have a Liquid Crunk?
Little John drank Crunk nonstop.
Somebody just asked me, I think Wazoo just asked me who's this week's battle, because he thinks it's going to be him.
Oh, you lose.
Look, we got a special battle coming for you. Don't worry.
Wazoo, it's past your bedtime.
It's a school night tonight.
All right, so Justin Fick, take this email because I'm lagging bad. I don't want to take any more emails.
All right, Hendrick B. writes in, hello, what's his face, hot sauce, and brick. Just want to say that with episode 25, the return of the Duke Kings was amazing. It blew me away. The outro song's What Makes a Man Was Gold. Who wrote it? Episode 25 is worthy of the likes of the free verse prank phone call. Episode 14, Sex Competition.
The song he's talking about is by Matt Stone and Trey Parker, who do South Park.
Their band,
before they did
DVDA.
South Park. Yeah, they did. They used it in the movie Orgasmo, I believe. Or was it originally in their band? I thought it was originally in that movie.
It was originally in that movie, but they have a band. They still have a band called DVDA. And there's a website. I think, look in our forums, because I know somebody posted a more detailed answer to this question. But it's a hella funny song.
All right, so he continues on. I'll keep it short. I have one question concerning episode 14. I'll just get this out there. I had an entry, but I broke the rules. It wasn't about game characters. It was about the three gaming kings, Blake Buck, William Miller, and Justin Fick. After writing several chapters, I felt too dirty to send it in, so I put it away in a dark corner. Recently, I found it, and I was wondering, should I send it in? Part one of Tales of the Sweaty Nerd, Buck and Willie. Should I send it in, or shall I burn it?
Absolutely send it in.
This gets sent in.
Look, look, we better be making Flippy Flap down below, me and Buck, in this story.
What?
I'm going to be disappointed.
What does that mean? That is the gayest, like that was the gayest thing I've ever heard you say.
Dude, I have no idea what Flippy Flap is either, but I think it involves pancakes. All right, so moving on.
All right, we got one from Mike R. Says, okay, I'm a quasi-new listener. My old roommate edits your shit and apparently eats/does things that no man should do. Anyway, I wanted to know what you think about something because I think you'd have some pretty good feedback on it. I really like what Nintendo's done for this gen for general control innovation, but the fact that they have almost no good new characters really pisses me off. As cool as the Wii is, I can't buy one knowing that Nintendo isn't going to bring anything new to the table. And see, I agree with this because Nintendo's got a lot of standby characters, and they got a big boon of characters from Pokemans. All right, they got a whole lot to go through then. But I mean, really, Nintendo hasn't come out with a new character in quite a while.
Well, hold on, there's a couple. They just haven't taken the limelight. So they have Pikmin. Pikmin has been coming out. They have Cookin' Mama is becoming a character. But none of them are really taking the limelight that Mario and Link have. But they're coming out there. Like they have the brain training dude, that disembodied head that talks to you like Lawnmower Man whenever you're playing those stupid mini games.
Dude, whatever. That is not a character to be put in the ranks. Like, the brain-headed dude is not going to make it into Smash Brothers.
It takes a lot of money to make a new character that sells well. Look at Sonic. Sonic hasn't made a good game in years, but they keep selling copies because people buy the game based on the character alone. It's sort of like any... It's even like making a new game that, you know, has never been done before. There's always a lot of risk involved, whereas... Oh, we're making a platform game. Let's just stick Mario in it, and we'll sell 10 times as many copies.
And the thing is, too, like the other thing too, is that these characters are kind of like, you know, they kind of symbolize that genre of game. Like, you know, talking about the platformer, how can you create a platformer and not stick Mario in it? Like, it'll feel weird. How can you not have an adventure game and not have Link? How can you have an exploration game, you know, not or a shooter and not have, you know, Samus Aran? It's like it feels weird.
It's true. It's true. So, Mike R., don't know what to tell you about that. See, I think, like, one of the things, like, Nintendo has much more restriction on their IP, or, like, what IP gets into the Nintendo canon, whereas, you know, these other consoles don't really have a canon of IP. They just rely on third-party developers to, you know, make sort of their
Hello,
own stuff.
Cameo, you know? Yeah.
Okay, well, Cameo, sure. Anyway, so, whatever. We'll see. I don't think that's any reason not to buy a Wii. You got great games on it or whatever, but certainly a distinct lack of new characters.
It'll come around.
All right, we got another one from Mark G, a.k.a. Princess Peach. He says, baby, y'all are dumb. The multiplayer in Halo 3 will look like the beta, but the single player will look much better. Don't look at the trailer, it dumb. Look at the screenshots of the game and try to imagine it in motion. It's beautiful, don't deny it. Look, Mark G, look. I want you to take a screenshot of Bioshock. And I want you to take a screenshot of Halo 3. And I want you to put them next to each other and try to imagine both of those in motion. Okay? And tell me which one looks better by several orders of magnitude.
All right, so Evan R., our battle veteran, writes in and says, hey, BDP crew, first off, I love the last show you did. It was almost worth a full month wait between episodes. But I'm still going to have to confiscate a testicle from one of y'all for that. Anyway... I was thinking about how you guys haven't made any jokes at Itagaki's expense lately, and then I remembered you, that means you, Blake Buck, mentioning something about making that Game House movie concept you guys dreamed up, which was f***ing hilarious, into an actual movie. And you even told us to wait and see. Well, Blake Buck, I've been waiting, but I ain't seen shit. Get it together. You might want to add something to the plot about the Gizmondo exec traveling back in time to try and stop Itagaki from coming to the house to rape everybody. But his noble efforts are thwarted when Itagaki steals a time machine and uses it to travel back in time to rape the members of the Sonic team at the cusp of the transition to 3D console gaming, thus causing their ultimate self-destruction of the Sonic the Hedgehog series. And then Itagaki comes back to the present and rapes everybody in the game house. The end. You can consider me a partner in that copyright now, bitches.
I love that. That's like the perfect bedtime story for the game industry.
Now, I'll have you know, I've been thinking about this idea since Evan wrote this. Because, I've been thinking about it, but I hadn't really been actively pursuing this idea. Since Evan's email, I have already started writing some treatments for Game House, the movie.
Yeah, man. We need a screenplay.
Look, I'm going to write it, I think, like a it's going to be a reality show. And it's going to be like a reality show pitch. So it's going to be like 6 minutes of solid gold. Nothing else. No, like, long backstories. 6 minutes of solid jokes. That's what I'm shooting for. So, with any luck, that'll be the next video I shoot.
You know what should happen in this reality show? Instead of getting voted out at the end, Itagaki comes out and rapes you.
Look, I have got plenty of plans for... Look, I wrote down about for 3 hours last night all the ideas I have for this game, and I'm hiding that power, but it's gonna be good, baby. It's gonna be good.
You know, Blake Buck, if you squint your face up just right, you look just like David Jaffe, so I think you could actually be in the movie too.
Yeah, I've already written several scenes with David Jaffe and Cliffy B. There's a whole look, it's coming, just hold on to your butts, as my roommate likes to say.
All right, moving on. God damn, we got a lot of emails. Okay, this one's from Derek G. It says, hey guys, something that's been angering me recently is the lack of mature, by which I mean intended for people older than 13, RPG content that's available for the DS. I'm about to turn 21, blah, 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 blah. All right, look, Look, William Miller just picked up that Heroes of Mana tape, all right? And he loves that tape.
Look, that game got butt
now,
reviews.
It might not have boobies in it, but it's no Children of Mana, let me tell you.
Butt reviews.
Dude, that game is awesome. You don't even know. You don't even know.
Uh-huh.
I may pick it up, but I'm missing the chop elements. I need to have a chop button. It's not attack move, it's chop. Attack chop.
Well, look, Derek G, just like the Wii, save some anecdotal exceptions like Manhunt, the Nintendo DS is targeted at children.
Especially the DS, because the DS has such a cheaper price point that is attractive to younger gamers.
Right. And so, you know, that's sort of where the PSP targets the older crowd and the DS targets the younger crowd. So, and you can see where, you know, which one is working, which one isn't. So, I don't know, you probably won't see, you know, many mature themed RPGs, although Reverent Wings might be up your alley. Also, there's a new, new Final Fantasy Tactics game called A1. Final Fantasy Tactics A1 or something like that coming out pretty soon too, so keep your eye out for those.
You know, I think he has a point though in that maybe there is a niche that is not being served of mature RPGs. Like instead of having like you know your Kingdom Hearts type kid that levels up by killing rats, like maybe you just have like this blood splattered pirate or something that just eats people's faces and levels up his pecs.
All right, so
we just bled into Justin Fick game design land there for a few minutes.
All right, so Mark G, aka Princess Peach, writes us: the BioShock demo is so awesome, and the early reviews are all good, 9.5 to 10. Okay, it's great. It is good. It's good. I'm just saying, 9.5. Come on, come on. In my book, no game is worthy of 9.5. I guess I'm a little slurred. The game is going to be awesome. When BioShock was first announced, I was really excited. Then as time went on, I liked it less and less. The first problem is they hyped it as a shooter. It's not a shooter in the sense that Gears of War or Halo is a shooter, but it's more like World War II plus Resident Evil plus Oblivion equals awesome. Even from the demo, the story is one of the most engrossing ever to be put in a video game. It good. You know what I love about our emails? It's how I can read them like as they want them to be read by us. You know what I'm saying? I just borrowed Halo 2 from my friend. I've been playing through it for the first time. Yes, the first time. I never had an Xbox, so I never had the Halos. Damn, this game is good. Halo 1 minus the repetitiveness plus better graphics and more environments equals awesome. I have been having lots of fun with Halo 2, so if Halo 3 came out looking exactly the same, I wouldn't care. Halo 2's graphics are good enough for me. All I ask of Halo 3 is that its story concludes in a mind-blowingly epic way. Thank you for reading all my bitching. No problem. Mark G, Princess Peach.
Wait, see, I think you're under the assumption that story's going to end. You're wrong. You are wrong. They're going to be about...
You're going to have a Halo 4.
Yeah, they're going to be about 10 more of them games, so you better just strap yourself in for a long ride.
You know what's going to happen is Bungie's going to do the same thing it did with Marathon. Like, at the end of the third game, they just fuck your mind up so much where you don't even know what the fuck they're doing anymore with the story.
Yep. Well, Blake Buck wouldn't know, would he? And having never played through that game. All right, we've got one last email from Sippin' the Swede, our very, very favorite fan. It says, man... Episode 25 was your best ever. It had everything. Thank you for putting the aural image of voluptuous nerd ejaculation in my mind. Thank you so much. Also, I will be up for battle in theory, but I never use Skype, so I guess I'm safe from those whores. Look, son, you are not safe because we don't use Skype.
In
we
fact,
call your landline.
In fact,
or we call
I
your
do
cell
believe
phone.
Sippin' the Swede has called us before, so with a little luck, we might already have your number, Sippin' the Swede.
So you have effectively volunteered. I hope you're ready because we're going to call you like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Congratulations. You have won an honorary battle entry.
We're going to have to think of a special like Swedish battle that he can do.
Dude, Sippin' the Swede is going to have to go get Swedish honeys for his battle.
Put them on them springs.
No, see, it would be more like, to make it really Sippin-esque, it would have to be like write, shoot, and produce like an hour-long movie of some topic that we come up
BDPE,
with.
BDPE the musical.
There you go. That's it. All right. Well, I'm about done. It's time for the outro. Yeah.
a monster of a show, but it was good. Are you feeling good about it, guys?
I'm feeling really good.
I feel good about that show. It's really good. I feel real bad about Lucas having to cut it all together. But
this is going to be a monster.
Absolutely.
He'll manage.
If you want to send us any feedback, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com.
I'm also happy with how Battle turned out this time.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, absolutely. Battle turned out really well.
We got some numbers. We had our next combatant.
That's true. And we need more, you guys. We've only got a handful. So if you want to enter, it's feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com or call our listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. If you want to donate, send us PayPal donations to donate@bestdamnpodcastever.com. There are links on the site and in the show notes for that. And also vote for us to Podcast Alley. So we got anything else, guys?
Yeah, we didn't do a big Podcast Alley push this month, but look, your votes still count. Next month, the storm starts. Right? We're gonna get it. Listen. Next month, we're gonna make that happen.
Number one, Podcast Alley.
Top 10. Number one.
Now you know what I was thinking? Is these other podcasts that are ahead of us? I wonder if they have listener lines that we can enter into battle.
Wait, how would that work?
You know, we just call them up, they answer, and we play battle music, and we make them do something on their podcast.
That'd have to be a passive battle, though, because, like, they're not going to pick up instantly. We'd have to leave a message or something, and then...
Well, they could. You never know.
They would do something on their show. But that would be awesome. True. Because that's free advertising, because they'll certainly play it on their show.
Absolutely.
Certainly.
All right. Well, from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Fake.
And we'll see you next time.
Think of a wonderful thought, any merry little thought. Think of Christmas, think of gold, think of sleigh bells, walking like reindeer in the
Look
sky.
Look at you.
Think of the happiest things, it's the same as having wings.
Oh my god, I'm hot and I'm aching. Look at you. I like there's a danger element there. I like that. Dude, what are you talking about, kid? Fucking Jesus couldn't beat that.
Come on, Nana.
When there's a smile in your heart, there's no better time to start.
Oh, the Schlitz. Okay. So it was like America's fucking awesome, and it had the bird and the flag behind it.
There it is, Wendy. Second star to the right and straight on till morning.
Everything's better in America.